Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on a 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
I hate to say I told you so. But I'm going to say it. Told you so. All is not lost. All is well. Where's the Kevin Bacon line from scene from Animal House when you need it? Might have to dig that one up, Kevin Collins. Remain calm. All is well. Well, sure. It stinks to lose. There's no doubt about that. You knew it would happen eventually. It always does. Even when the Patriots were ripping off double-digit win streaks, you kind of felt like it. I know deep down most Patriots fans, there were many of you that thought this team would run the table over the final 7 games of the year. I know deep down you kind of felt like, yeah, that's just me being a front runner. That's just me supporting my team. You didn't really think that, did you? See, this is where, this is the hard part. This is the hard part of the job because, as many of you know, we're fans here too because everything is better when the team wins. You'd much rather have the team win than have the team lose. The hard part of the job that I have and that the PFW guys have, the hard part of the job is remaining somewhat down the middle and being able to recognize when another team is good, when another player plays well, when another team performs up to or exceeds their expectations and capabilities, and not just say, ah, baloney, we lost that game rather than they won the game. That's the hard part of this job right now. And I would tell you that, for the most part, Green Bay won the game. I would also tell you, and we'll spend some time with those nitpicks here today, but I would also tell you that there were plenty of things the Patriots could have, should have done that would have won them that game on Sunday in Green Bay. I'm convinced more than ever right now that the Patriots should have won the game on Sunday. They didn't, and that's the reason that I suggested they wouldn't win the game last week, one of the few to do that. I think I only had one or two other people for the entire week pick Green Bay to win, which kind of blew me away, really. But I think it just shows that that's kind of par for the course around here. It's par for the course. This is why we try to interject a little bit of, nitpickism. This is why we try to play devil's advocate. This is why we try to balance things out. This is not, again, all pom-pom waving here. This is all about trying to take a serious look at not only your team, but the team that they're getting ready to play this next week and giving you the best guesstimate. We're not always right. No one is always right. If you do, then you should go make a living working for a sports book in Vegas. Not even the sports books are always right. This is one that, based on a little bit more than a feeling, but only because it was on the road and they were just kind of due, and I think everybody saw what kind of a quarterback Aaron Rodgers really is. And I wrote about that a little bit today on the View from Above column, the nitpicks and nitwits here on the website that we do every Tuesday. I have to admit that Aaron Rodgers is just extraordinary. His ability to check down and find his third, fourth, and sometimes even fifth options to throw to is remarkable. It might be the best in the game right now. And that's with all due respect to Mr. Brady and Manning residing in Denver. But Rodgers, said, fine, you want to take away Jordy Nelson, which they did, except for, one really, really bad big play right at the end of the first half, as you know. And even Aaron Cobb, for that matter, they actually, I thought they did a relatively effective job on, especially when they switched out Logan Ryan and put Kyle Arrington on him. Logan Ryan had a terrible game. Terrible, terrible game. He was not good. I'm not sure why they decided to go that route. I think they waited too late to make a change there, because in a tight game, you need to be able to make adjustments quickly if you want to stay in it. And I just don't know that they operated quickly enough. Nevertheless, it's still really kudos to Aaron Rodgers for finding, you know, guys like Adams and Rodgers, the tight end, and, you know, in hitting the backs a little bit. Hey, honestly, credit where credit's due. Credit is where credit is due, and the Packers earned it. Home field advantage is usually worth, you know, 3 to 4 points. That was really the difference in this game. Actually, you want to boil it right down to a difference. The difference in the game was the 45-yard catch and run by Nelson just before half. Patriots get out of there 16-14 down at halftime. Green Bay scores once in the second half. Patriots score the touchdown in the second half. You can win that football game. And if you tack on that field goal at the end that Gostkowski missed, there's a little breathing room for you. As far as I'm concerned, that probably was at the very minimum, that was about a 24-20 Patriot win. Should have been. Neither team committed turnovers. Neither team forced them. So the bottom line here is that Green Bay had the better game plan. Also wrote about this, if you hadn't checked it out this morning, elsewhere here on the website. But I thought one of the major differences in the game was Green Bay taking the ball. They eschewed the NFL rage in deferring to the second half. Or not even the NFL. College teams do it all the time now. You win the coin flip. Ah, let's defer to the second half. Whatever happened to taking the football and jamming it down somebody's throat? In Green Bay's instance, that's kind of what they did, although you certainly can give credit to the Patriots defensively for hanging very, very tough in the red zone. But they won the battle of possession. They kept the ball out of Brady's hands. They kept the ball away from the on-fire Patriots offense that we've seen over the last 7 weeks. They did exactly what they knew they needed to do. It was a game plan. They followed to a T, and the Patriots did nothing to disrupt it, or at least very little to disrupt it. That's the difference of the game. You know, you want to try to slow down a rampaging offense? Take the ball out of their hands and score yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's where the Patriots, I think, had their biggest fault. You know, they can't do anything about losing the coin flip. They really can't. I understand that. Green Bay won the coin flip. Green Bay took the ball because they wanted to keep the ball away from Brady and the offense. Fine. Then as a defense, you got to stop them. They didn't do it. Green Bay scored on all five of their first half possessions. All of them. I'm like, really? So I scored on the first five possessions, I should say, of the game, because they had 16 points at halftime. It was 23 at halftime. That's right, all five. So I have to backtrack there for a second. You still got to stop them. You might have held them to field goals largely in the red zone. You still got to turn the ball over. It was an embarrassment that Green Bay did not have to punt the football until under 3 minutes to play in the third quarter. And that was the only punt Green Bay had the entire game. That's not championship caliber defense. That's hanging on for dear life defense. Okay, I've started. There's some nitpicks for you to throw out to get it going. What else did you notice from the game on Sunday? Now, I happen to believe very strongly right now, and maybe even more so after watching the game and then rewatching it on the DVR, I do believe we could very easily be destined for a rematch in Arizona. I think Green Bay show that they were the class of the NFC, with all due respect to Seattle and maybe slightly to Arizona. But, you know, missing Carson Palmer there, I think, is going to ultimately be the undoing for the Arizona Cardinals, who are having a great season. Philadelphia might still be a factor in there in the NFC, but I got to tell you, you know, if the NFC is going through Green Bay, I'm not sure anybody does that. And I believe Green Bay did put a smackdown on Philly earlier this year. So all I'm saying is that if the road goes through Green Bay and the road somehow continues to go through Foxborough and the AFC, we could easily see, you know, that those two teams went out and rematch. And I know there's probably very few, if any, Patriots fans who are really dreading a potential rematch. You know, after watching the game on Sunday, I'm sure you feel pretty confident about taking the Patriots and their chances if they get a chance to play Green Bay on a neutral field, on a field where the elements are completely equal on both sides. Just keep in mind, they'll be just as equal for Green Bay as it will be for New England. And you still got to figure out a way to slow down Aaron Rodgers. And you still have to figure out a way to get off the field on third down, which the Patriots could not do. Green Bay was 10 of 16 on third down, minus the last kneel down on third down of the ballgame, which brought their average down. 10 of 16 converting on third down. I would have guessed 16 for 16, the way that I felt throughout that game. It was not a good effort. I know the Patriots felt like, you know, after the game, they just made a little, you know, a couple more plays than we did. Okay, I'll buy that to an extent. But if you take a good, hard look at it, they didn't get off the field on third down. They gave up 5 first-half pass plays of more than 25 yards. 5 in the first half. They've given up about 5 all season. And they gave up 5 in the first half. I'm not sure what the scheme was defensively. I got to go back and look at it again because I really want to just watch the defensive backs. But whatever it was, it wasn't good. Darrell Revis got burnt on the touchdown pass from Jordy Nelson. Nelson just ran a little inside hitch, and it looked like Revis was a little off balance. He wasn't quite square. There was no help over the top. He got burnt. Other than that, he played very well. Other than that, well, how'd you like to play, Mrs. Lincoln? I mean, damage was done, right? So, you know, and then Aaron Cobb getting behind Logan Ryan repeatedly. He had 2-3 gains of 25 plus. What's his name? The other receiver, the fourth receiver. I'm drawing a blank on Devontae Adams. Thank you. Adams was open too. Now, you got to give Aaron Rodgers credit for finding his fourth option in that particular instance, but he did. I mean, and if you don't have somebody defensively that can stay with Devontae Adams man-on-man, then you got problems, real problems. You even saw them kind of scrape off Alphonso Dennard during the game and throw him back in there because whatever the Patriots were doing was not working. And the lack of an overall pass rush, I love Rob Ninkovich, but you know it as well as I do. If Rob Ninkovich is your best pass rusher, you're in serious trouble. You cannot allow quarterback of the ilk of Aaron Rodgers to sit back there and pick and choose of his secondary receivers, which he did. And to me, that's where the Patriots lost the game on Sunday. Phillip Rivers is coming up this next Sunday. Phillip Rivers has his team right now at 8-4, firmly in control of their own destiny as far as the AFC wild card is concerned. And if you take a look at what the Chargers have in their last 4 games of the season, it is extraordinarily difficult. This, at least, is a home game for them. They've got to be, you know, sending the battle cry out this week. They have to win this game. Their backs are to the wall. They need this game way worse than the Patriots do. And now the Patriots have given up. Patriots have basically given up their breathing room in the AFC. Losing this game, even though it was an NFC team. But now the breathing room is a lot, let's just say it's a lot less for the Patriots. You can't afford to lose anymore, pretty much, if you want to stay one of the top 2 seeds in the AFC. You can't lose this game. This is what the Patriots have. Let's hope that the stay out west and the working out in San Diego and being out in California pays off for New England this week, where they can do their job, they can be about their business, and they can focus on San Diego, which has got an outstanding offensive team, underrated defensively. They're rolling through people at 8-4 right now. They're only a game behind New England. 8-4. That should grab your attention. And I know that I did pick Green Bay to win this last week, but if you look at my preseason predictions, I believe I had the loss, the last loss of the year, coming at San Diego. It does not surprise me that San Diego has sort of picked itself up and has quietly slid under the radar in the AFC and become a serious contender. And that's exactly what San Diego has done. All right, so what are your thoughts? 855-PATS-500. Toll free, 855-PATS-500. Web radio at patriots.com is our email, at JRBroadcaster. That's the Twitter handle. Hit me up on Twitter. John.Rook on Facebook. R-O-O-K-E spells the last name. And if you haven't submitted a friend request, please do so. And then we can share posts on the website. You can also use the chat function during the course of the program to get your football thoughts in. Happy to bring you in. All right, let's see what you have to say today. As far as the nitpicks are concerned, we're going to lead it off with Sean in Vancouver. Sean, you're in the playbook. How are you?
I'm great, John. How are you?
Okay, Sean.
Good. Well, first off, people overreact. The fans go crazy. I remember back in Game 4, everyone is jumping out the windows after that Kansas City loss, and then people are going the opposite way the past few weeks when the Patriots are blowing teams out. It's a loss in Green Bay. Green Bay is a great team. About a month ago, like you, I picked them to lose to Green Bay, but I picked the Patriots to finish 13-3, mm-hmm. and I think they will. I think they'll win next week in San Diego. But my nitpick is the game plan. I really expected the Patriots to have a similar game plan to what they did in Indianapolis. Bring out the six linemen, run Blunt behind Devlin and Gronkowski blocking, and just pound that 30th-ranked run defense. Green Bay is a great pass rush team, but other than that, their defense isn't spectacular, and that would have been a better test. I think I would have liked to see that.
I won't argue that. I mean, I think that's accurate. But you know, my whole issue is that the Patriots just didn't do enough to stay with their game plan. They didn't it did not at all in any way impose their will on Green Bay. They allowed Green Bay to take control of the game by controlling the clock, the tempo, the physicality, everything from the get go. And the Patriots defensively did nothing to knock Green Bay off their stride. And you've got to do that if you're going to beat a team in their place. They didn't do it.
No, Green Bay looked great offensively, and I figured they would. They're a really great team, so that really didn't surprise me. Just the game plan that the Patriots had on offense surprised me. Now, on to San Diego. I was watching that team, and it seems to me like San Diego on defense is really strong against physical run teams, and I think the Patriots' game plan might be, instead of what I thought they'd do this week or Indy, I think they're going to use a lot more of Vereen in short passes and slants and screens and doing a lot more in terms of the outside run instead of pounding it down the middle with that team, because that seems to me where their strength is up the middle on defense. And mm-hmm. offensively, San Diego has a lot of options for throwing the ball, but running the ball, they're not a power running team, so I expect the Patriots to use a lot more nickel and dime. And
I'm sure that they probably will, you know, and I'm sure these will be things that we'll discuss, you know, probably as late as Thursday this week. But I you know, this is, to me, now that you've created this shadow of a doubt based on the way you played against Green Bay, it's reasonable. You know, and I think reasonable people can assume that the Patriots may struggle from time to time against a San Diego team that will also be in familiar confines in their own stadium and fighting for literally their own playoff lives coming up this Sunday. So this is not going to be a walkover. This is not going to be anything close to it.
It'll be a good game, but I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, and it's up to the Patriots to really score a lot of points and not let San Diego, or Philip Rivers, tear them apart. I mean, they'll have to get more pressure. Hopefully Chandler Jones will be back. And
well, that's a huge piece to the puzzle. They need Chandler Jones back, and I think they showed that. I mean, I think Akeem Ayers has done a pretty good job in relief since they brought him on, and I know he got pressure this last week and had a sack that got rubbed out, I think, by one of the actual few penalties that this team had. That was actually one of the good things I thought about this week's game is they only had four penalties, and we've been ranking on the penalties all year long. The problem is, though, is that they Aaron Rodgers talked about this after the game. The problem is that he kind of felt like the Patriots were in a wait and see attitude defensively. Like they were staying very disciplined in their assignments, but they weren't attacking him, which gave him all kinds of time to find his third, fourth, and even fifth receivers. Yeah, and the secondary let him down.
It's hard to cover all the receivers for 12 seconds.
Yes, exactly the point. And so there's got to be somebody whose job is to get the quarterback's ass.
Yeah, and the Patriots were very concerned with Rodgers running around and making plays, and they're just they're staying disciplined in their lanes. But I think with Rivers, you could blitz a little bit more, and if Chandler Jones is there and playing, you know, at least three quarters of the game or snaps on defense, they'll put a lot more pressure and force Philip Rivers to make a lot more quicker.
Well, they're gonna have to. I mean, they're just gonna have to. Otherwise, you know, if they allow Rivers, the kind of time that they allowed Rodgers to have from time to time, the Patriots will lose on Sunday night. They will lose. To me, big key to the game right now is how much pressure can New England get on Philip Rivers to make him throw the ball a half a second early where he can't find his third and fourth receivers.
Right, yeah, because in that time he's going to find roles for his quick release and get some yardage right up.
Yep, you know. I agree.
All right, well, thanks a lot, John. Take care. Have
Sean,
a great week.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much. Let's get Miguel in Oregon in here. Miguel, you're in the playbook.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good, Miguel.
Hey, first-time caller here.
Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, I've been listening to it seems like you guys have been really hard on things. I mean, I understand the whole we couldn't stop them. They couldn't punt. And, I was really frustrated about that. But before the game, if they would have told me we're going to hold Rodgers to 26 points, I would have taken that because I would have thought that the Patriots would score at least like 30 or 28 or maybe at least 31 or something. But it just seems like to me that the offense is the one that came up short in this game because we only had three scoring drives. I mean, there were touchdowns, but that was about it.
Well, in a sense, Miguel, you're right. The problem is the Patriots on offense didn't have the ball long enough to be able to score more. Green Bay dominated in time of possession. I mean, the Patriots had 10 or 20 more plays than what they had. They only had 57 snaps from scrimmage. Now, if you give them 10 or 15 more plays, you think they win that game?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
That's the defense's fault for not getting Green Bay off the field.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think it seems like the Green Bay Packers, their scheme was actually, I think, was going to Adams and Rodgers. I think their game plan was those guys were the first reads on Rodgers. It seems like he was looking at those guys first before he was looking at the other guys, not Nelson and Cobb, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like they couldn't do anything. Like, if they would have sent, like, at least a few times where Dante Hightower was actually rushing the passer, it seemed like we had some success. Like, Rodgers was, like, kind of scrambling down and trying to see the figure of something else. But
yep.
It seems like we're only rushing, like, three guys. I mean, it's just, like, not enough.
It did seem like that from time to time. And,
I mean, it just seems like if we play them again, I think I feel really good about this game. Like, I just feel like we're going to do some things different. Maybe we'll run the ball a little more. But I was really, really surprised of how good the Green Bay Packers defense. And I think we haven't given them enough credit for how good they came out and played on Sunday because I wasn't expecting them to rush Brady to pressure Brady that much or to even, like, on the passing plays. They were actually playing really, way better than I've seen them play.
Well, that's a good job out of you, Miguel. You're right. They deserve the credit. And like I said at the very beginning of the show, sometimes you just have to pat the other guy on the back and say, good job out of you. And I think that largely Green Bay won this game more than New England lost it. And I believe in the other two losses that the Patriots have had this year, they lost it more than the other guys won it. This is the first time. This is the first time the Patriots, in my opinion, have been beaten.
And for as bad as we did, I mean, we're still a grunk catch away from scoring 29 points if we go for two, and maybe we can send this thing in overtime. I mean, God knows what would have happened there. I mean, I really like my chances if we get him in the Super Bowl, but I would rather play Seattle because we've been really good with better defenses. Like we played the Lions, where they were ranked number one. And if we play Seattle, I feel a lot better than playing Green Bay.
But. Well, be careful what you wish for, because you might get it. but let's also make sure that New England gets there first, and you got to start taking care of business this week with San Diego. There's no doubt in my mind they've got to win this game.
Well, we got San Diego and then Dolphins, so those are the toughest games remaining on the schedule. So.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks, Miguel, for taking the time. Appreciate that. Here's our buddy Steve in Killeen, Texas. Hi, Steve.
Oh, no, we suck again.
Oh, no, we suck again. I know.
My actual net, John, will probably surprise you. It's Tom Brady with this game, and it comes down to two plays. The pass to Gronk in the end zone, he threw it down at his ankles.
Yeah.
Gronk is the biggest freaking target in the NFL.
Okay. That's a pretty good nitpick right there, yeah.
Why didn't he put the ball up and let the big man get it? The other one was taking the sack on fourth down at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Now, those two plays, we keep saying, well, if we only had 10 or 15 more plays, those two plays, John, had we made them, that's 35 points. Potentially the Gronk touchdown, which was really close. And then, worst case, we walk away with a field goal because, you know, Gostkowski is in better range than he was.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's in my mind, we gave up 14 points on those two plays.
Mm-hmm.
My other myth is, if you're going to only rush three consistently against Rodgers and give him enough time to drive to New England, pick up, you know, some chowder and come back, that just doesn't work.
Okay. Well, I understand what you're saying. I'm not so sure that, you know, get those two plays, you're going to get the 14 points out of it, but I understand where you're going with that. You know, seemed to me like, you know, on the last play you were talking about, on the fourth down play, I mean, clearly he held on to the ball hoping that somebody would break free, and then he just, you know, it's been pretty hard, I think, to get rid of the ball, without, you know, somebody bearing down on him. So, you know, I understand technically you are correct. I'm not sure that would have made a difference one way or the other.
Yeah, and part of me would have hoped that, you know, even though statistically it wouldn't have been a good idea to go for that fourth down, I would have kind of liked to see us do it.
See what now? Say that again?
On that last play where Tom took the sack.
Oh, yeah.
I would have liked to see us, you know, just go for it on fourth down and take the shot at the end zone.
Yeah, well, I've heard that debated. I've heard that debated a lot on local radio over the last 2 days here. And, you know, I understand that, you know, I think if you look at it somewhat statistically speaking, that, you know, there might have been more of an advantage to go for it on fourth down. But I don't know. I don't really have a problem with trying the field goal there. I really don't. And then hoping that if your defense, again, does its job, you can get off the field, which they really could not do the entire game, which is my number one nitpick for the entire game this week, is the defense didn't do its job and get off the field and allow the offense more time to do its job. That's my whole sticking point. But I understand they're, you know, all right, well, if we kick the field goal here, then hopefully defense come out and do its job, and you have to allow them at least the opportunity. I understand the thought process. I do.
And statistically, I understand why we did what we did. It's, you know, just how the game kind of played out. It would have been nice to just, you know, to see that.
Yeah.
Regardless of what might have happened.
Yeah. But just looking at it from a strategic point of view, I got no problem with that because when they kick that field goal, if they get it correct, you still got, close to 3 minutes or so left in the game. And you had, what, I think one or two timeouts left. So that's plenty of time to get the ball back, you know, inside, say, of 2 minutes if you do your job. Plenty of time to get the ball back, and you're only talking about having to kick a field goal. You're only down 26-24.
And while penalties weren't as big an issue, John, the ones that we got happened at times when we could ill afford them. The Browner penalty actually kept one of the drives alive and allowed Green Bay to go.
Yeah.
Consistently down the field at the, you know, yeah, the first half.
Early in the game, I think that's a very good point, Steve. Early in the game, those penalties, and I think they were both defensive holding, were they not, on Browner? He had two of those four penalties that they were called on for the entire game, but they both extended drives. And again, as I suggested, Green Bay scored the first five times they touched the ball. Now, either one of those gets rubbed out, it is a possibility you get off the field.
Right, especially in the case of the sack by Ayers. I mean, that was, what, 8-9 yards?
Mm-hmm. Very true.
So they were looking at, what, second and, I think, 13 or 14.
Right.
And then they got to the third down, and then we got the penalty.
Right.
Down to Green Bay, and they kept rolling.
Right. Yep. You're correct. You need to take that call?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Just wondering. I'm trying to do you a favor, Steve. That's all.
I'm just thinking out at lunch.
Oh, attaboy. Attaboy. Way to go. Way to go.
But, it's just in the case of Rivers. Again, I got what we did with Rodgers being much more mobile and dangerous, but just looking at that 12 seconds to throw the ball, that translates to what, 4 plays almost?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, those things have got to be addressed. And in the case of Rivers, you know, granted he's no Aaron Rodgers, but he's also, you know, no slouch either. If they get rolling at home, it's going to be an issue.
This is true. It is going to be an issue. It absolutely is going to be an issue.
I'm hoping that we kind of, you know, take the training wheels off a little, John, and take those risks on defense of actually bringing some pain. I would like to see him switch it up instead of being a 3-man rush, bring 3 or 4, or, you know, just roll the dice.
I'd like to, if they're only going to rush 3 up front, like they did seem to do for much of the game, I'd like to see them, you know, try to time other blitz opportunities. You know, they did that a couple of times, I think, with Hightower and such. So, you know, I think you're going to have to figure out a way to do that. You need to change it up. Now's the time when I think the Patriots defensively, to borrow a baseball analogy, they need to throw the curveball at people because I think they're becoming predictable.
Bring the heat.
Yep. Oh, you want to bring heat. Okay. Well, okay, maybe bringing the heat is the curveball. It's the change of pace pitch, right?
Yep, absolutely.
All right.
That's, for this game, John, you know, I was optimistic that, you know, the Patriots would come in and get it done, and unfortunately that didn't happen.
Right.
You know, but looking at San Diego and your pick, you know, I'm a realist as well as, you know, being a homer. You know, I knew going into Green Bay wouldn't be easy.
Right.
But looking at San Diego, I think that hopefully what triggered the run of, you know, the win streak will trigger this one again to the end of the season.
Sure.
And losing in Green Bay the way you did, where, you know, having been in a ring and you know that you came off flat footed and somebody just gave you the best shot,
right,
and they take you down.
Right.
The next fight, hopefully you have that edge of, you know, it's not going to happen again.
Right. Okay. I'm following. Good stuff, Steve. I hope you had a good turkey day.
Mom put me in the turkey coma, so I was good, John.
Nice. Did you deep fry yours?
No, I didn't deep fry it this year, but hopefully next year we'll be looking at that.
Excellent. You know what I did with mine this year? We're going to digress here for a second because Scalavino isn't around for me to digress with. But I actually brined my turkey this year. I soaked it in a brine recipe for about 12 to 15 hours the day before, and it was actually as moist and as tasty as I've ever had one. And I've heard that several people that have done this in the past said, you got to try it, and so I did, and it was brilliant, and it was really ridiculously easy to do.
Yep, and the next level, John, is after you do that brine, deep fry it, brother.
Oh, man, and then you lock in everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to try that. I got to get me a deep fryer. I got to, you know, either borrow one or rent one or something and give that a shout.
All right, sir.
Thanks, Steve. Good stuff, buddy.
All right.
Talk to you again soon. Here's Noel in Denver. Noel, you're on the playbook.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good, Noel.
Glad to hear you had a great Thanksgiving. And when you deep fry that thing, deep fry it outside, not in the garage.
That's correct, sir. I'd like to be able to keep my house for a while.
Hey, I got a couple of nitpicks I'd like your opinion on. First of all, I get frustrated as hell with Josh McDaniels at times. And this time, you know, I understand execution if you're calling good plays. But I think the offensive calling early on in this game really was bad. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't know if it was so much bad as that they just didn't take advantage. I would allow for some questionable decisions, as you suggest, because the way that Green Bay dominated the time of possession, the Patriots didn't do anything to knock them off their stride. Patriots, I don't think, did anything that Green Bay wasn't expecting. And that's a little disappointing, so I understand your point.
Yeah, it was disappointing to me. I don't understand sometimes where Josh comes from. I'm kind of hoping he goes to the Gators or something, whatever they want him to.
Well, if he's a candidate, and of course that was the rumor over the weekend, that he is going to be considered a strong candidate by Florida Athletic Director Jeremy Foley, you know, for the Gators head coaching job to replace Will Muschamp, then, you know, go for it. That's all I'll say. Would I miss him? Well, I will miss, I think, his ability to work in a comfort level with Tom Brady and with the receivers and everybody in concert. What I won't miss, as you suggest, are some of the inexplicable play calls that just seem to defy logic. And I'll just leave that for Florida to sort of nitpick on when the Gators go 5-7 next year.
Well, I'm just looking for a little bit of creativity, which I don't feel we're getting. Anyhow, I picked us at 13-3 early on. I think I mentioned that to you. And this loss here, I think I really would have wanted to win this going into San Diego, because San Diego is their backs against the wall. This is going to be a tough struggle, I think.
It is.
And my biggest concern moving forward, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I look at our last three championship games, the two AFCs and the Super Bowl, and we don't put pressure on anyone. And I don't understand. I know Dominic Easley, I don't know, defensive end-wise, Chandler Jones and Ninkovich last year, all it was talked about was how they were tired at the end and how hard they worked. Did not get any help. And is Zach Moore going to, do you think Zach Moore might rise to the occasion here, or is he injured?
No, I don't think he's, I don't think he's injured, but I would say that, you know, I'm not sure he's the answer either. You know, he's always been a rotational kind of guy anyway, a situational kind of guy. There's not going to be one person that you're going to be able to say, okay, you're the man, do the job. This has got to come from several different sources. One of them has to be Jones, if they can ever get him healthy back on the field. And frankly, that's the biggest knock you can say against Chandler Jones right now is here's a guy that seems to, you know, be pretty good in his 2-3 years in the NFL, but guy can't stay healthy. He can't stay on the field. And we knocked, you know, guys like, you know, Rashai Dowling a couple of years ago, defensive back, who was never healthy enough to stay on the field. And finally, the Patriots had to punt. Now, I'm not saying they should punt on Chandler Jones. Far, far from that. Because we've seen enough from Jones to say, look, this guy can be an effective, you know, downright at times dominating defensive end. But he has to stay healthy. And Danny Amendola is a perfect example. Here's a guy that left it all out on the field a year ago, got himself hurt his hip, you know, tore a little muscle in there, whatever it was. He couldn't learn to stay healthy. This year, he's learned to stay healthy. Granted, he hasn't contributed as much, and the Patriots haven't looked to him as much. But now, in the last half of the year, he is contributing, at least in special teams, you know, by, you know, picking up the slack. So he's learned to contribute in other ways. This is something else that a guy like Aaron Dobson, who, for one reason or another, everybody seems to love Aaron Dobson. I'm trying to figure out why. But why? Because he was a third or fourth round draft pick? So what? You still have to do it, but he seems to have the physical tools to do it. And I heard an analogy earlier today that, you know, the Patriots kind of like Aaron Dobson or thought he would be exactly what Brandon LaFell is right now, and they're still waiting for him to come around. Now, I don't think he's in danger of being cut, but I do think he's going to be fighting for his very, you know, job next year when it rolls around. I don't think the Patriots wait on him any longer. And 3 years is about right, because that's what they did with Dowling and some of the other guys that they took highly, and they kept waiting and waiting and waiting and hoped that they would develop, and they never did. And so when they don't, you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, are we choosing the right guys? And as far as the you know, Chandler Jones is concerned, I think they chose the right guy, but he has to learn, like some of the others are learning the hard way, how to stay effective and how to stay on the field. And if that means, you know, getting rotated for somewhat situationally so you have a little life left in your legs, then that's what you have to do. And I think ultimately the best teams in the league build that kind of depth anyway on both sides of the ball where you got several guys contributing. So when somebody does go down with a severe injury, another guy's ready to step up. That's how the Patriots have built this entire franchise, with this whole next man up philosophy. And they just haven't done it well enough in terms of rushing the quarterback.
Well, that's my biggest concern. Offense, I like who we have. I like the right. I like LaFell. I like what our offense is doing. I just think we just need to be more creative on the play calling. And we also, for some reason or other, let's face it, Aaron Rodgers is the most accurate quarterback I've seen in a long time.
He's pretty good, isn't he?
And maybe that's why we only rush three guys all day. We never really tried to put any blitz packages in there or did anything.
They were trying to do to him similar, not the same, but similar in certain instances and not all the time. But what they did against Peyton Manning and what they did against Andrew Luck, they were dropping guys back into coverage. They were going man on two guys, and they were taking their chances with the others. And because there was no rush, they gave Rodgers plenty of time to find his third and fourth and even fifth receivers in some instances. And that's where that was the difference in the game. He was able to find them, whereas the other guys couldn't.
Well, hopefully we'll come up with a little bit more pressure on these other quarterbacks. Do you think they will use Dennett more than Ryan this week coming up?
Well, I'd like to see it. I'm sure that they brought him in there to kind of change things up because Logan Ryan had a miserable game, I thought. So because of that, you know, maybe that opportunity is back open for somebody else to squeeze in.
Is Butler injured?
I don't think so. I think I saw him on the field at least a few snaps. So maybe he has to figure in there.
He was inactive last week then, right?
Did I not see 21 on the field? Was he on the inactive list?
I thought so.
Okay, then that may very well be. Well, then, if that's the case, because I did not see the inactive list before the game kicked off, so if that's the case, then he certainly could be a factor this week, but he's got to be, you know, he's got to be a part of the game plan.
Yeah, if we win this, hopefully we can win this and win out and be 13-3 so we don't have to go anywhere.
I think this is the big swing game, Noel. I fully expect this team, if they win this week, to win out.
Thank you, John, for taking my call. You have a great day, sir.
Thanks, Noel. You too. Here's Todd in Toronto. Todd, you're up next in the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, Todd.
So I promise no profanity this time so Kevin doesn't have to drop the bomb on me.
No worries.
A little bit of alcohol after that game, but actually it was all positive. I didn't come out of there feeling bad at all. The one thing that shocked me was the fact that I felt we were outcoached.
Yeah, you could certainly make that statement.
Oh, all the way around. I couldn't see what they were trying to do. You know, they weren't trying to confuse them like they've done to, you know, Manning in the past. They got really weird sets that I didn't understand. And, you know, it seemed like they easily got away from stuff that was working and then never got back to it. You know, they gave up on the run, I think, a little bit too early.
Well, they gave up on the run way too early, but the reason they gave up on the run is because they felt like they had ground to make up because Green Bay held the ball for so damn long.
Yeah, but that's the problem. When you let the other team dictate, they should have went back to what they were doing.
And they never did.
The ball for a while.
I agree. They got pass happy, and that's where I think Noel, our previous caller, had sort of alluded to, you know what, I'm a little disgusted with Josh McDaniels and the play calling, and I tend to agree. If they stuck with it, I mean, they averaged almost 5 yards per carry for the 18 times that they did run the football on Sunday.
Exactly, and they didn't disguise their defenses enough. Their defense was just too set. That's why Rodgers could do those weird audibles and plays that they went into. You know, they took a look and going, oh, hey, look, we're going to have Nikovich on Cobb coming out of the backfield. Well,
yeah, right.
So let's do that again.
Right.
You know, and a lot of that defense, when they did stuff, like they disguised the blitz up the middle a couple times, and Rodgers didn't see it coming. He got hit twice. Once we lost on a penalty, and the other one was a good, nice sack.
Correct.
By Hightower. And again, we went away from that. We went right back to, I don't know what it was, John. It was just, it's this idea that things have to be a certain way, and if they're not that way, well, then they're wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think you bring up some good points, Todd. Absolutely.
Those are my nitpicks. And
good
my
ones.
Positive out of that game is I watched the attitude of those players, especially the young guys that we got on that team.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to win. You could see it when they came out in the field. They were not coming in there like, oh, my God, we're in Lambeau. They're coming out saying, hey, We got a shot. And I think the coaching took it away from them. I think the coaching is what sunk them. I think it took away all that energy they had, all that, you know, fervor to win that game. I was watching them, and they looked, and once in a while, you'd see these guys, and even, you know, Big Vince, he had that look on his face like, okay, I'm not sure what's going on next, but I'm going to follow what they're telling me.
Mm-hmm.
And that boggled my brain.
Yeah, I would tell you that sometimes I think the coaches even can put on blinders and don't see the complete field. And I thought that was one of those instances this weekend, that there weren't the in-game adjustments that I would have expected them to make. And they've had some trouble with that off and on this year, especially early in the season. Certainly not during the 7-game win streak, but I just, you know, sometimes I also think they get so stubborn and they get so bullish in terms of, you know, this is how we want to play, and they don't realize, but there's a better way. I think it cost them, and that might have cost them a little bit this weekend.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think that they totally, they left so much on that field that, you know, they could have done differently, and it just this feeling that I think we left that one behind, and I think I can't blame the players. It, to me, it's the coaching that caught us there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna tend to agree with you on that one, Todd, overall, which kind of puts them really now behind the eight ball a little bit for this week. And as I suggested earlier, I do hope that they take this week that they're out in San Diego, that, you know, they take this week to, you know, get together and, you know, and maybe put their own backs against the wall a little bit, because San Diego certainly is. I mean, you look at what they've got coming up, and honestly, New England might be their easiest thing, only because they got the Patriots at home over the last 4 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think we're going to lose that game. I honestly don't think that game is going to be a problem for us. I think watching Bill when he came off the field, the look on his face, you know, there's that discussion that some sort of crazy, I don't know what they were talking, some sort of conspiracy. Oh, Bill was saying this or this to the opposing coach or something. And I thought Bill just looked at that whole game like, I dropped the ball. I think it was like, yeah, buddy, you know, I'm going to shake mm-hmm. your hand. Here you go. You out-coached me, and, you know, on to the next game. And I think that's why I actually kind of feel sorry for San Diego, because I sure would not want to be the team that's going to play the Patriots next, because I can just feel that they're going to go out there, and they're going to be looking to prove a point, and it's not going to be pretty.
Well, San Diego has the Patriots Sunday, then they're going to play Denver, then they're going to play San Francisco.
Yeah, That's not a happy.
No,
that's not a happy.
That's just a miserable end of the season. I don't know. That's, you know, I would have screamed bloody murder about that had I seen that earlier in the year if I were a Charger. But hey, sucks to be them. So exactly. You know, you got to take care of your own business now.
Well, that's all I had, John. I know it's maybe too positive for Nitpick Tuesday, but
No.
I think that's what I got to do.
It's all good, Todd. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the time. Here's Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave, you're in the playbook.
Today. I mean, you know, I'm not upset that we lost this game, and I'm looking at it. I mean, I'm upset we lost the game, but I'm not upset. I'm looking at it realistically. Okay, Green Bay was putting up almost 50 points every home game. Okay, they showed a stat in the second quarter of the game where Green Bay had outscored. They showed the last 5 opponents, and it was like 30-3, 30-46, just blowouts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the game was over before halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I knew we. Defensively, we just did not stop them. I mean, obviously. But we did stop them in the sense we didn't allow them. We created field goals for touchdowns. And I think that's the first time this happened to Green Bay this season.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me tell you something. I'm not one to jump ahead, but if we do see them in Arizona, I don't fear them. On a neutral field, I don't fear them at all, and I don't think it's going to be the same gameplay. You know, like everyone's saying, and I agree 100%, the players didn't lose this game. The coaches lost this game. All right, you're going up against the 30th-ranked run defense in the NFL, and you didn't run the ball against them.
Mm-hmm.
You said to yourself, they were averaging 13 yards per carry.
Right.
No, 5 yards per carry. Okay. We got away from it too quick. You know, I understand the thinking like, oh my God, you know, we're in a shootout here, but we really weren't in a shootout. At the worst time, we don't 13-0.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it wasn't a blowout, and you know we were into the last minute. Gronker up that, you know, tough catch, and you know there's been some discussion down here, ESPN. You know, did he have to hold on to the ball long enough to, you know, to signify a touchdown? How long did it have to be held? you know, but that's neither here nor there. You know, hats off to Green Bay. You know, for that Sunday, they were the better team. But I am very much looking forward to seeing them, if we're there, seeing them in the Super Bowl, because I in my heart, I know that, you know, give Bill 2 weeks against a known opponent now, and I think the outcome could be much different.
I think Dave, that's actually a good point, and I do agree with it, because you know, as I suggested off the top of the program today, you know, I don't think there are too many Patriots fans that feel bad about this loss, because you see that this is a winnable game. And I think the Patriots probably even see where they can improve their own game plan in order to be able to get by Green Bay, especially when you get them on neutral turf. So I think there are a lot of Patriots fans that, you know, won't fear the Packers if the Packers are indeed, you know, in the Super Bowl and the Patriots are fortunate enough to get them get there themselves. So I think, you know, there would be some confidence, dare I say overconfidence, but certainly some confidence on New England's side.
Absolutely. I think, you know, like defensively, the two things that we didn't do against Aaron Rodgers, we didn't pressure him and we didn't contain him. Okay, you know, you let him roll out and make passes. You let him roll out and run. You know, and that's, again, it's the coaches.
Yep.
Okay, I don't understand, you know, defensively what our game plan was. You know, I was listening to the commentators and they said, well, normally, you know, they put a spy on him, and like maybe in the third quarter, I think, they gave that designation to Nemechek to spy Rodgers a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, the damage was already done. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I agree with everyone saying, I think Bill, honestly, you know, he knows he's out-coached, and it doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen that often, and you know, we'll see what happens.
All right. Good stuff, Dave.
San Diego's a big game for us.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that. Dave in Connecticut. All right. You've got 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. Toll-free telephone line is open and available to you. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address for your nitpicks. What bothered you about the game on Sunday? I know you probably like some of the things that you saw, and you don't feel too bad about it, and they actually represented themselves very well. It's still a loss, people. What bothered you about the game? At JR Broadcaster. Hit me up on Twitter with your nitpick. And then, of course, John.Rook on Facebook. You can find me there as well. Let's get a break in here. Eric Friends, who joins us on Nitpick Tuesdays from Boston.com, covering the AFC East and the New England Patriots. He joins us next.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, And before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
can't get enough Patriots Playbook? Find the show in the audio on demand section of Patriots.com. Catch up on live episodes you missed or simply replay your favorite Playbook moments from years past. Get inside the Patriots Playbook with John Rook whenever, wherever. Only on Patriots.com and the official Patriots apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad.
Hour number two in the Playbook here for a Nitpick Tuesday. We'll get right back to your telephone calls, but I want to bring in, of course, Eric Friends, who covers the Patriots and the AFC East for Boston.com, as we do normally on Tuesdays. Eric, how goes the battle today?
It's going very well. Just plowing through this film review for the Patriots-Packers game right now and just kind of trying to get that finished up before the night's out.
All right, so tell me what you thought was unusual from a New England perspective. If you have a nitpick or two, that always helps. But what did you find that was sort of a little, let's just say surprising?
Well, interestingly enough, I mean, the biggest problems that the Patriots had on Sunday were the offensive line and the defensive line, simply not getting enough pressure on Aaron Rodgers and not creating enough time in the pocket for Tom Brady. And really, I think the play up front was the huge key in the game. I mean, every week I kind of go through the amount of pressure that the Patriots get up front, the amount of pressure that they allow as an offensive line. And this week kind of stood out to me just in terms of how they had been playing up front on the offensive side. Brady had had all day to throw for the most part and really got a lot of pressure in his face on Sunday against the Packers. So I was a little surprised by that. I was a little surprised by them getting pushed around up front on the defensive side as much as they were. I mean, obviously, you know, they hadn't really been getting a lot of pressure on a consistent basis beforehand, before Sunday, but really, you know, didn't really get any pressure on Rodgers at all. There was one play where he had around 11 seconds in the pocket, and they went back to the first 4 weeks of the season where they had been being pushed around up front in the running game. They were bit with some more of that on Sunday against the Packers. So I think those areas that had improved, I thought that those were areas that had become reliable, dependable areas for the Patriots, but really proved that they still have a way to go.
Yeah, they definitely have a ways to go, and I think one of the concerns that I aired a little bit earlier today before you joined us was, it's clear that they need some help. It's nice to see Akeem Ayers come in and get spot help, but I don't think he's particularly an every-down kind of guy. Chandler Jones needs to come back, and Chandler Jones also needs to be the old Chandler Jones, and he's got to be healthy enough to do that. I have great question marks as to whether or not that's even possible this year.
Well, it'll be interesting because Jones still is not playing. Obviously, that hip injury has kept him out a little bit longer than was originally reported. It was said that he would be out for about a month, and right now we're working on 6 weeks, almost 2 months that he's been out now. So clearly, you know, it's a pretty serious injury, it would seem, and hopefully he comes back because the Patriots pass rush really hasn't had any bite to it without him in the lineup. And I mean, as good as Rob Ninkovich is in terms of making big plays and big moments, as good as Akeem Ayers has been, you know, getting some, creating some pressure and getting some sacks on quarterbacks, you would like to see a bit more consistency in terms of containing the edges from those guys. I think that's been a weakness of theirs in the past few weeks, in the past few seasons, really. Even when Chandler Jones has been in the lineup, they've struggled to keep these mobile quarterbacks in the pocket. These guys have kind of scrambled against them and been able to get outside the pocket and make some plays. So it'll be interesting to see if that helps, if Chandler Jones comes back and what he's able to bring to the table, whether he's 100% or not.
Yeah, you know, in terms of the whole pace and the tempo of the game, I thought Green Bay won it when they took the football. I mean, they played keep away from Brady and the Patriots offense, and I thought that was just an unbelievable stroke of brilliance that nobody realized could happen.
Well, there were a couple of thoughts on that, and first is that I read an article from a Packers beat writer, Tom Silverstein, who said that this was one of the best game plans he's ever seen from Mike McCarthy. So that says a lot about, I mean, a Packers team that we know up here. We hear from, you know, national beat writers that they're a really good team. We see their records every year. They end up winning the NFC North, making noise in the playoffs. But the fact that that one of the Packers beat writers has been on the beat for a long time says that this is the best game plan he's ever seen from Mike McCarthy, I think, says a lot. And the fact that the Patriots were able to keep it a 5-point game, despite that being the best game plan that Mike McCarthy's ever put together, I think that says a lot about the Patriots as well. But definitely, you know, I think one thing that Bill Belichick said in his press conference a couple of days ago was that, look, you know, we didn't get to do a lot of the things that we wanted to do, like running the ball and calling all the plays that we had drawn up for this game, because they just didn't have the ball. They didn't convert key third downs early. That LeGarrette Blount got stopped on third and two for no gain. Julian Edelman caught a third and five pass for 4 yards, just one yard short of the marker. Who knows if those two plays would have made the difference in the game, but it definitely would have helped to give the Patriots some early momentum rather than stalling out early as they did.
Yeah, and of course, the tempo, you know, put the Patriots defensively back on their heels, and of course, you know, you can correct that problem by getting off the field on third down, and it seemed like almost every third down that, you know, they had, they converted. I realize it was 10 of 17 technically, 10 of 16 if you don't take that last knee, you know, on fourth down to end the, or at the end of the game, but that's problematic. And whether or not that's due to a lack of playmaking, you know, read into that the pass rush, of course, in the past, or whether or not the secondary just didn't have a good game, I'm tending to believe, after I've seen the game a couple of times now, I'm tending to believe it was a little bit of both.
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, I have a hard time pinning this on either unit because, I mean, I look at what the Patriots did schematically against the Packers. I don't think it was a bad game plan. I think, you know, the Packers just executed. I mean, look, you know, they took away Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson for most of the game. I mean, Randall Cobb had 6 catches. Jordy Nelson had 2. He had that big touchdown at the end of the first half, which really, I think, was one of the tipping points in the game, obviously. But you look at the game plan that they had put together, I thought they did well about, you know, taking the slants away, taking the deep balls away. They really made the Packers work for everything they got. I think the fact also that they were able to hold the Packers without a touchdown in the red zone, 0-for-4 in the red zone, I think that was a huge factor in the, in the outcome as well, and the fact that they were able to at least keep it close. So that gives you some confidence, but at the same time, you're right, you would like to see them get off the field on third down a little bit more often, and I think that does come down to them getting a better pass rush.
Yeah, getting off the field to me was almost where this game had to have been lost, because you get off the field, your offense gets more snaps. That's an extraordinary number of snaps that the offense had, only 57 for the entire game, which is low. And I mentioned earlier, you give this team an extra 10 to 15 snaps, you're probably feeling a lot better today than you probably were on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, just the fact that the offense, you know, they didn't convert those key third downs either. I think that was one of the key points in the game as well, that, you know, like I mentioned, you know, there were a couple of early ones that they missed, and the fact that they missed on those, you know, led to them trailing by 13 to nothing before they finally got on the board. But at the same time, you look at what they were able to do defensively, making those stops in the red zone. That was what kept them in the game. But if they get a couple of more stops on third down, it could have been different.
Right. All right. I'd be remiss then, Eric, if I didn't ask you your thoughts, at least to begin with, number one, on San Diego this week, looking at what the Chargers have for their schedule upcoming with 4 games remaining. I don't think there's anybody in the NFL that has a tougher 4-game stretch to end the year. Chargers have New England and Denver at home, then at San Francisco, at Kansas City. And so while they're sitting right now in that 5 spot of the AFC in terms of the wild card race, it's hard to believe that they're going to stay where they are.
Yeah, I mean, the only other team that comes to mind with a more difficult stretch than that is the Buffalo Bills, who play the Broncos next week, then the Packers and the Raiders, and then the Patriots. So they got quite the slate ahead of them too. But the Chargers being the next opponent on the schedule, yeah, that's certainly quite the tough road to hoe in the last 4 games of the season. I think, you know, having those first two games be at home helps them a little bit. They played the Broncos earlier this season, and really, I mean, they obviously, you know, lost the 2 touchdowns, but I think they kept it a little bit closer than it looked on the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely have. I think you look at them and what they've been able to do this season, and you have a team that has been kind of, you know, I don't want to say reliant on its quarterback, but definitely hasn't gotten enough done in the running game to where you would have any confidence that, you know, if the Patriots can take the pass away, that the Chargers can get anything done.
Well, I think that's got to be one of the early keys, at least. But when you look at it from a San Diego perspective, you know, they realize they're sitting well at 8-4, but with such a tough road to hoe, they've got to make hay on these home games. They've already played Denver. They know. I look at it from their aspect of it, and look at this game against New England as the one that could easily make or break their entire season.
Yeah, well, I look at where they're at right now, and I mean, at 8-4, you know, they have to at least split the final four games of the season in order to make the playoffs.
Yeah, 10 wins, you got to get to 10, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. 10 wins is the plateau for the wild card. Just looking at the rest of the AFC wild card landscape and where it's all at right now, but a lot of teams sitting at 7-5, the Dolphins and the Bills, both there, a couple other teams as well, but certainly, you know, with four opponents like this up on the schedule, it's going to be tough to even ask the split. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it all shakes out towards the end.
All right, you mentioned Miami as well, and given their win over the Jets last night in Monday Night Football, and you know, say what you want to, relatively speaking, about the Jets, but Miami is right there sitting in the sixth spot as well at 7-5. What are your thoughts on Miami's performance last night and whether or not they can possibly get to 10 wins?
Well, definitely not a good performance from them last night. I mean, Ryan Tannehill had been playing so well over the previous four games. He had completed 70% of his passes, more than 70% in each of those four games, and then did so again last night.
Mm-hmm.
But just did not, I mean, they didn't get any big plays. I think he only averaged like 6.5 yards per pass attempt, which isn't very high. They were out of rhythm at times. I mean, they only had 6 points headed into the fourth quarter, and it took 10 points in the fourth quarter for them to end up pulling out that game. So, you know, I think they really snuck out of New York with one, but the fact that they were able to win that in the clutch, that was huge, because they had already lost 3 games this season on fourth quarter comebacks by their opponents, against the Broncos, a couple other ones that are slipping my mind right now. But definitely for them, I think it gets a huge monkey off their back, regardless of the opponent. And as far as the Jets go, I think, you know, the fact they only let Geno Smith throw the ball 13 times, I think says a lot about where they're at right now in terms of their quarterback position. And the fact that he was starting after Michael Vick had an opportunity to do so over the previous month, I think also says quite a bit. So I look at where the Jets are right now. I think they're probably pretty close to hitting the reset button on just about everything down there. And as far as the Dolphins go, certainly looking like they're ready to make a push for the postseason. But like I said about the Chargers, it's going to take at least 10 wins. And right now at 7-5, I mean, they have, it's right in front of them. They just got to win, you know, 3 of the next 4 at least. But certainly for them, I think it would be huge, because they've been under fire for so much this season, last season, just between Ryan Tannehill, whether he's the future, Joe Philbin, and whether he's the future as head coach. And I think it would be huge for them to get to the postseason.
Yeah, and as for the Buffalo Bills, also at 7-5, what do you think? Are their chances any better overall than what Miami's are?
Well, I would say Miami's are probably better of the two, just because I look at Miami's final four games, and they have 3 home games. The only road game is against the Patriots in Week 15.
Yeah.
And with the Ravens, the Vikings, and the Jets on the schedule, all those teams at home, I think that's 3 very winnable games. Whereas the Bills, like I mentioned, they're playing the Broncos this week. They got the Packers the week after, the Raiders, which it should be a layup in theory, but you never know. And then the Patriots in the final week of the season. I think that says to me that it would be very fortunate for the Bills to win, I would say, even 2 of those 4 games, let alone 3, and that's what they're going to need to win if they want to make it to the postseason, whereas the Dolphins, I think, is right in front of them.
All right. Eric, great stuff as always. Hope you had a good holiday.
Thanks. You too. You got a lot of turkey in you?
I tried to. I tried to. Now, are you
all right, thanks a lot.
Are you making the trip out to San Diego?
No. I'm going to be staying in New England for this one. The only trip I made this season so far is to Kansas City. We'll see about the last month of the season, but
got it.
But so far, it's just been a one-trip season for me. So
got
we'll
it.
See how it goes.
Got it. All right, we'll talk next week. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks a lot.
You got it. Eric Friends covering the AFC East and the Patriots for Boston.com here in the playbook, as he normally is on Tuesdays. All right, once again, 855-PATS-500, the toll-free number. If you got your nitpicks to talk about, still got plenty of time to air the grievances. Here's Trey in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Hey, John, how's it going, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Going back to what me and you said last week, that you know, this game was very losable, and it's something that you and I said basically all the last week. So, and you know, I'm looking at it. I really don't talk about more victories, but I mean, for as well as the Packers played and as bad as we played, I mean, we were fortunate, you know, to lose the game only by 5 points, John. So
right.
There was definitely a lot of plays we left on the field, and I mean, looking at, we really didn't have the ball that much. Like I said, the Packers, they Packers played a hell. They had a hell of a game plan, man. You know, playing keep away. So
right.
And I really didn't. I didn't think that, you know, they would be able to keep the ball from us. Now, I thought that the only way they could at least keep it a close game was they, you know, create a couple of turnovers. But I mean, hey, that wasn't the case. And God forbid if they had gotten a turnover or two. Knows what it really would have looked like, you know?
Right. Yeah, I'm following you. What bothered you the most about the Patriots' performance on the weekend, Trey?
The biggest thing that really hurt me was, and it still is, you know, being down 9 points, done, that doesn't mean that you have to abandon the run. And, like, we really, I mean, it's just to run the ball 18 times. I mean, I was shocked. I mean, because I never felt the game was really out of reach. And, you know, there were several times. I mean, you take the last drive we had, that second and nine. I mean, you know, it's basically two down territory. You know, four down territory anyway. So I feel that, hey, man, it's second down and nine. And there's no need to take a shot at the end zone. If you're going to take a shot at the end zone, at least put the ball where Gronk, you know, wouldn't have to, you know, get so low and go to the ground.
Yeah, yeah. So we already had somebody else today also make the same complaint. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, John, second down and nine, and LeGarry, you know, seemed to be, you know, had his nose wide open for the end zone. I mean, so, you know, man, give it to him, you know, at least one more time. I mean, second and nine, John, you can't, I mean, just go for the run again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, to totally not apply any pressure on that third down. Was it third and five? No, it was third and four. And they picked up, the first down?
Yep.
I mean, to apply no pressure? I mean, come on, guys. I mean, you know, that wasn't smart at all, John. I mean, so, you know, this, I mean, what do you think about this?
What do I think about, the play call?
Yeah. Just not sending any, I mean, not applying any pressure.
Well, clearly that's a problem. And we spent, you know, a good portion of today's show talking about how that is going to be a problem from here on out unless somehow they either A, try to change things up systematically, or B, get some healthy bodies, namely Chandler Jones, back in there. So, you know, the pressure's got to happen. You can't play against the elite quarterbacks in this game without applying some pressure. We did see some against, you know, both Manning and Luck, for instance, earlier. We did see some against Matthew Stafford as well, if you're going to throw him into that mix. But we really didn't see much of anything at all. And I think a lot of that was based on the way that they decided that they wanted to play against Rodgers. But Rodgers, giving him time, he's got the ability to find those fourth and fifth guys. That's the biggest difference between him and the other players.
Yeah, the one time we did get a sack, you know, that sack, I think it was Robert Ayers or Dante Hightower, when they got this sack. It could have been like an 8-9 yard loss, but we got a penalty.
That was the penalty. One that Ayers had earlier. Yes, and then then there was a penalty that rubbed it out. Correct.
Yeah, so I mean, so buddy, with that being said, John, I'm looking at this game Sunday night. I mean, it seems to me that the Patriots have more pressure than anybody else left in the AFC because, okay, we basically let two games get away. Okay, week one we let one get away. You know, we was up and we lost that one, and then like we literally let this past game get away, and it seems like we really have more to lose. I mean, because I mean the pressure is on us now. Not saying that we can't weather the storm, I mean, but, you know, we have a lot to lose, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this game Sunday night is just like the Green Bay game. Yeah. It is losable.
All of your margin of error has dissipated now. It's gone.
It has dissipated. And so I literally don't believe the Broncos will lose another game.
I don't think so either.
I don't believe they will. I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, and then they seem to establish a run game. And it's kind of like, hey, you know, they're taking a play out of the Patriots playbook.
Yep.
You know, hey, they got these extra linemen in the game now. is almost like Patriots. I mean, you know, they almost look like her.
Correct.
You know?
Yep.
So I just, you know, hopefully, I think if we could get past this game, you know, get this win Sunday, that's going to be big. And, you know, and get the Dolphins at home, which, you know, they're a scrappy team. So, and
they're fighting for a playoff spot, too, just like San Diego.
They're fighting for a playoff spot. I mean, so, you know, I'm not so sure that, you know, hey, these next two games are tough. So, hopefully, man, you know, we could, you know, get ourselves together, you know, get back and regroup. I mean, because very little room for error.
That's true.
All right, man, it was good talking to you, man.
Thank you, Trey. Appreciate it as always, buddy. Very passionate, Trey in Memphis. Here's Kareem in New Jersey. Hey, Kareem.
Hey, John. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, pal. How are you today?
Very good. How was your Thanksgiving?
Everybody it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it immensely. How about yourself?
Good. Very good.
Good.
Very good.
Glad to hear it.
All right. Just as always, going into the going down to the point right away. I mean, honestly, I'm not as beaten as a lot of people are. I mean, I as I said to you, if you recall, I counted this as a loss in the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of premature to assume that, but again, I mean, if you look at this game, if you think about it, we were 10 points ahead with that throw to Gronkowski in the end zone.
Right.
That was a catch, man. Like you would have hold on to this ball. That would have been 7. And the Gostowski kick, here's another 3. You're 5 ahead.
Right.
So literally, I mean, I'm not beating up on the Patriots big time. Nitpicks, I would go with. I don't know, man. The defense just. You don't really hear Revis at all. Like, that ball that Revis blocked, I think it was Cobb, is when he changed his route. So, technically, Revis really didn't do much. Like, I feel like Revis didn't really show up that day. I don't know.
Well, I would tend to agree with you. I mean, I think that, you know, for the most part, he did his job, but he got burnt on the touchdown to Jordy Nelson. Not only because of the route that Nelson ran, but just because of the time of the game. I mean, keep guys in front of you for God's sake, especially at that time. So hopefully you keep them out of at least, you know, maybe even field goal range from scoring just before the end of the half. I mean, you go in at halftime down 16-14, you're feeling pretty doggone good about your chances, especially getting the football to start the third quarter. And right. you almost felt like any momentum you had was just sucked right out of the stadium when Nelson caught that pass and scored with less than a minute to go. And that's an egregious error that we really haven't seen the Patriots commit much of, thankfully, especially on the defensive side of the ball this year. They screwed up there. That's just a bad play. I think you can kind of chalk it up to almost human error on that one. I'll still take my chances with a guy like Darrell Revis overall, but he was a bit out of position, and they made a good play, and you got to give Green Bay credit for taking advantage of it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And if you actually look, I don't know if we're talking about the same player or not, but I think the same exact play the Green Bay did last week, same exact play. I mean, we stopped the receiver. He didn't finish it as a touchdown. I think it was Cobb. I could be mistaken. Again, we stopped him, but I think it was Devin McCourty who stopped him. But
yep.
At the same time, like the same play got flipped, the same catch, same exact. It was unbelievable. So the guy caught the ball. I'm like, are you kidding me? We've mm-hmm. seen this last week. That's number one. Number two, the one that really just, like, got to me is when Brady scrambled and then pulled out Romo and throw it just outside. You remember that play?
Yeah, right.
Scrambled and got out, you know, of the pocket and had open field full of people. I don't say full of people, but, like, he was open. He could have just really made a completion. That was my nitpick. I'm like, you got out. You did a great job scrambling. You got out of the pocket. Again, you got to give credit. You know, you got to give credit to Aaron Rodgers and crew. They did a phenomenal job, man.
They did. It's hard to nitpick. Although we managed to do that, it's hard to nitpick on the Patriots without also saying, give Green Bay some credit because they are a very good football team. They played very well. You know, they did have a marvelous game plan, as we've kind of discussed already here today. And you just kind of got to tip the hat to them and hope that you get another shot at them.
Absolutely, hands down. The one thing you worry about, though, as we are talking about, is the next four games. The game in San Diego, that's got to be a rough one, man, to be honest with you. I mean, granted, Miami gave San Diego the hardest time, but our defense is not at the same level as Miami. I can tell you this right now. You know, if you see Miami play yesterday against the Jets, and granted it's the Jets,
mm-hmm.
but they really had phenomenal defense. I don't know how we're going to do against San Diego. We cannot afford another loss.
I agree.
Four games.
I agree. They need to be 13-3, which is what I predicted them to be before the year started. But they need that right now because there is no margin for error with the way that, you know, Denver, you know, is keeping up. So, and even Cincinnati's only a half game back now. So you've got to make sure that you maintain the room that you've worked so hard to get yourself. You had a minor slip up this week. Now you can't afford to do it anymore. That's how tough life is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But moving forward, I mean, again, I mean, like, I don't want to say worst case scenario. I definitely want to seal the deal. I want to have the number one seed to get the home field advantage. It would be awesome. But, again, I really don't want to see another loss. Like, this is it. Like, everybody needs to get their stuff together and go Patriots.
Agreed. All right, Kareem. Very good. Good job out of you. Belarco in Los Angeles. Hey, Belarco.
Hey, John. How are you?
Excellent. How are you today?
Oh, my God. I mean, I have this anger inside me. I need to vent.
All right, vent away.
See, my nitpick is how everybody's so gracious after this loss. The viewers, the fans. I don't... This was a bad loss. We could have won this game. This was so close, and it was all about how we just did not execute properly. I understand Green Bay are a good team. I get that. But Green Bay could have blown us out, the amount of mistakes we were making. But we were still in the game, and just poor execution after poor execution. And I'm just not willing to take a loss like that because the AFC race is just so close.
It's very close.
Every game.
Yeah, you're right.
We win every game from now on. And San Diego, they have two back-to-back home games against Patriots and the Broncos. They know that if they win both those games, there is a chance that they might even become the number one seed.
They could. If they win, they absolutely could. I mean, that's the crazy thing about all of this. And I know that the NFL, you know, had a hand in this only because they're the ones that put the schedule together.
So we could easily drop to number two seed or even number three seed. So I'm just not in that mood. Like, okay, we lost to a good, no. That ticked me off, that loss, because we were so close. I mean, the luck could not favor us more. In that game.
Well, you know what, Belarco, you are very passionate. I'm a little surprised I haven't heard from more people like you today because the overwhelming majority of people that I've heard from, whether it's been on this show or, you know, my friends, you know, or anybody else who's tweeted me or texted me or Facebooked me or what have you, they've all said, you know, for the most part, very, very few are ticked off. They're like, well, Green Bay was good, and that was a tough game, and we had to play them there, and let's pat them on the back and, you know, and give the others credit where credit's due. And it's kind of like a little part of me just saying, like you, no, that's still a loss. I mean, and the silly thing about it is
right
that
for the taking.
That easily
right for the taking.
Absolutely. Belarco, you're 110% correct. They could have and should have won that game, and they didn't. And that should be a little worrisome for some people.
And what ticked me off even more is when Belichick comes to the press conference, gee golly, that's such a great team. I'm like, give me a break. Like, what kind of vanilla game plan was that? And I refuse to believe all these conspiracy theories. Oh, Belichick just did not want to show them his true cards, so he intentionally made a...
No, that's crap. BS. That's crap. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all.
Absolute BS. I'm just like, we better win every game from now on. Every game.
Well, they're gonna need to.
San Diego, like hundreds of other Patriots fans, will be in San Diego,
mm-hmm.
and they better win that one because that's a hungry team. And then we have three AFC East games. Two of them are 7-5, so they're not that bad team either. Even though we're playing at home, but they shouldn't be taken lightly.
Nope.
And then we have the Jets. At New York, and I'm pretty sure Rex Ryan wants to beat the Pats one more time before getting fired. So these are all very tough games that we have to win all of them.
I'm going to agree with you. There's no room for error now. You backed yourself in against the wall just a little bit in terms of if you really are one of the best teams in the league, well, then now you have to show it. There's no room for error.
That's what I wanted to say.
All right. Well, I'm glad you got it off your chest. Is there anything else you needed to vent on?
No, I'm good. Thank you very much, John.
You are very welcome. I love the passion. Come on, you got to love the passion. That's awesome. That's just awesome. He had to vent. I'm actually honored that he waited until Tuesday to vent on this program. That's a good job. That's a good job. Here's Kareem in Connecticut. Hey, Kareem, you're in the playbook.
What's going on, John? I'm a long-time listener. Every now and again, I'll email you and stuff.
Great, but, I appreciate that.
This is my thing, though. Like, I know it's a tough loss and all that, but there's a part of me that says, all right, we played, and for those who actually played that game, knows that if you're not in the shape that you need to be in, you're going to be winded at times. And I'm not using really no excuse, but they are human. And I put it like this. I could look on teams and pretty much try to guess whether or not their heart was in it and whether or not they were playing and whether or not they cared. And I think we play with as much compassion and everything that we had to play with. And, a loss is never easy to take, but, I mean, we can learn from it and we move on. But my real nitpick is, John, my real nitpick, as fans, we get irritating, and that's okay. That's what makes us fans. But where I'm coming from is, guys in Patriots Nation, please, let's just take a step back and enjoy this. Not this season, not last season. Just let's enjoy this, because there are other teams out there that's been suffering for years. You know what I'm saying? And we as Patriots fans, we've kind of been spoiled. I've only been seriously living in America for like since 2000.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of Patriots, man, since I've been a Patriots fan, because I'm originally from Jamaica, since I've been a Patriots fan, all we've been doing is always making it, never really finishing how we would want. But for the most part, we're successful.
Mm-hmm.
That's three rings, and we have a lot to be thankful for. Like, yes, the loss bothers me. It bothers me for real. And it pissed me off, but I didn't walk away that loss feeling the way I felt over the KC game. The KC one, I felt like calling Belichick myself. That one was crazy.
I would like to have been a fly on the wall for that one.
I wanted to ask Belichick what was going on. So
yep.
This one, I feel like we walked away, subpar, and I feel like we could have done better, but I mean, it's what it is. But, guys, please enjoy this, because once Brady walks away, we don't know whether it's going to take the next 6, 7, 8 years before we get back on the horse. And before you know, we might start looking like the Jets. We might start looking like the Raiders.
Oh, heaven forbid that ever happen.
So I'm just saying, John, let's enjoy this, even though we lost and all that. And we're looking forward for better in the weeks coming up. But let's enjoy this one, guys, please.
I concur. It is very difficult when you get caught up in it and you get wrapped up in trying to be the best that you don't pay attention to every little thing and every little moment along the way. And I think that's something that, you have to. I was thinking about that, this weekend as well, because I was covering college basketball this weekend and I was at Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, which is obviously one of the legendary places, that they play basketball in this country. And
right.
I, even though you're all hot and bothered and worried about, do you have a chance to win the game? How are we going to stay in it? Yada, yada. Number one team of the country, what have you. I wanted to just sit there and soak in the atmosphere, because I'm
right.
Like, you don't really get much of a, you don't get a whole lot of chances to experience this and to
right.
travel the journey. And
right.
I understand exactly what you're saying. You want to be able to just take a step back for a moment, let it breathe, enjoy the fact that they're in the Raiders. Yeah.
I look at it, John, the Raiders will kill to be in our position.
Well, of course.
The Raiders will kill. Even Miami, they've not been in the playoffs for like the last 5 or 6 years, I think. So, I mean, these guys are core. I mean, I understand it, but I think we've been spoiled a little bit, John. I think we've been spoiled.
Oh, I don't think there's
any. Brady,
there's
Brady
no.
And Belichick
there's
it.
Kareem, there's no doubt about that. There's just that's exactly. In fact, that's one of the biggest nitpicks that you can have against Patriots fans as a whole anywhere is the fact that largely the fan base is considered to be a spoiled fan base, not just by people from the outside, but from those within, because they just don't know how to appreciate what right. It was, say, back in the 1960s and largely in the 70s when this team stunk, and even again in the late 80s after the first Super Bowl appearance. This team was horrible. This franchise was pathetic, and it really didn't turn the corner until the Crafts, bought the team. So
yeah,
I told
John, that's really all I call in to say, guys. Please, man, just relax. Like Aaron Rodgers said, man, just relax and enjoy this, please.
All right, RELAX. Thanks. Appreciate that, Kareem. That's good stuff. Right. You got it. Talk to you later. So that's Kareem is. It's pretty much right on about that. This is all a chance where we're going to get caught up at it. And you know what? We do this every week anyway when we go through nitpicks on this particular show every Tuesday. We always accentuate the negatives. And I know sometimes that drives some fans crazy who really do like to shave the pompon. And you're a fan regardless of whether they win or lose. And you're not going to fall off the freight train if they lose. And you're not a bandwagon fan. You're going to stay on. And I largely feel that people who are associated with the team and true fans, and a lot of you, not all of you, but a lot of you who listen to this very program, you're not a bandwagon fan. You're going to be with them through thick or thin, and that's a good thing to have, because everybody needs that kind of support. They need to be able to rely on that kind of support. But there also needs to be just a moment or two where you sort of appreciate what you have. And so while we always accentuate the negative, that's sort of the idea of the show, and I've explained it before, but that's really kind of how New Englanders are. New Englanders love to second guess, perhaps more so than really any other regional fandom in the country. They'll second guess the birth of their firstborn child. I mean, they'll second guess everything. And because of that, that's sort of how the nature of this program was born, 13, 14 years ago when we really started it. And I understand the need to vent and try to understand what went wrong if something did go wrong during the course of a game. And so we try to spend a little bit of time here on Tuesdays doing that. But at the same time, we also want to enjoy the journey. We also want to try to accentuate some of the positive, which I do try to do here on Tuesdays when we talk about the negatives. We always try to follow up with the positive if we can. There certainly were some positives about this game that, you didn't play particularly well, and you really were one possession away from beating, right now the best team of the NFL. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think they're at the top of all the power rankings, and if you believe in those kind of polls and all that kind of stuff, So you were right there with them. You had to play them in one of the toughest places to play in the entire league. And again, you didn't play well. You didn't even really play your game plan, such as we could tell, because they were kind of taken out of it by Green Bay. I thought the defense was, not championship caliber, and yet they were still right there, could have, probably should have won the game. So sure, you can take some positives out of it. There are positives. The positive overall is in the journey. And the fact is, this team is still 9-3 and still controls its own destiny. But it starts this week by getting a W. Out in the area where our man Max is located in San Diego. Hey, Max.
Hey, what's going on, John? How you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
John, I'm outstanding. I don't know why Patriots Nation's so I don't know why cats are so down about this. I really don't understand.
Well, I think that people are just upset, Max, that you lost a game. And then when you win 7 in a row, when you lose, you're going to be, naturally a little down about it.
Yeah, you can take a shot in the arm. But my thing, I don't know. I can't talk for the rest of Patriot Nation, but what I can tell you is those of us that are out here deep in enemy territory,
we're ready to see an ass-whooping of epic proportions. Man, I'm serious.
Yeah, now we're talking.
We're ready to see ass-whooping of biblical proportions. Forget it.
I love it. I love it.
You ought to come see us. I mean, we're all going to be hanging out. Those of us that aren't going to game are going to be at our favorite hangout spot at Players in Claremont Mesa.
Okay.
And we're all going to be there. In fact, are you coming?
I am not, because I have college basketball duties this weekend. So, somebody's got to punch the paycheck around here.
Right, yeah.
But I'm going to be right there with you, watching every minute and with you every step of the way, watching every second.
You're going to miss one hell of a party.
I'm sure I will. I'm sure I will. And believe me, one of these days, I'm going to get there for it.
Okay. Good to go. I'll hold you to that.
All right. Perfect. So what are your thoughts then? What are San Diegoans' thoughts about, you know, the fact that, you know, this is a huge game for them as well as for New England?
Well, from what I haven't run into, too, so that's the problem with being from New England and being born and raised in New England and being, you know, living out here now. It's a little different because I haven't run into some actual true Charger fans. All the fans I run into are either bandwagon or they're just sometimey. You get what I'm saying on that one?
Yeah, sure.
So the consensus from the fans that I have met is that, and this is their words, not mine, John, they're saying that the Chargers are going to destroy us 65-0. That's their expert opinion. Yeah. Now, as far as, it's laughable, I know. They don't know no better. That's why we just don't think.
Really? They really think that?
Go yourself, San Diego.
See, Tom's laugh would have been better.
Yeah, that's true.
You know that sadistic laugh that he has?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a lot better.
But yeah.
The way we think out here at Patriot Nation, how strong we are out here, we know it's going to be a dogfight, but I think we'll win in the end.
Well, here's how I kind of look at it. I really believe that, you know, San Diego has a potent enough offense to do some damage against New England's defense. The Patriots must get off the field when they get San Diego in third and long situations. They can't allow conversion rate like they did this last week at Green Bay. Otherwise, this could be a very long day. I also believe, quite frankly, when you are on the road, you've got to take the other team and the other team's fans out of it. And that means scoring first and making the other team play catch up, which they did not do against Green Bay, and it cost them. So I at all costs would take the ball, score first, and keep pushing the pedal right to the middle.
Absolutely. One of the first things I think I would, I'm not a coach and all that, but, you know, I'm a Marine and I know tactics.
Yes, sir.
One of the things I would like to do is, of course, San Diego loves to run. What team in NFL doesn't like to run?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're notorious because they have, they have Matthews back now, and that's his deal. They love to be able to run. So my thing about it is, if you want to put two on Wilfork, go ahead. Please do that. Put two on Wilfork.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I would flex Wilfork out a little bit, move him a little bit over to the right or to the left, and then maybe you can put one of their receivers just like last time on Wilfork Island.
Yep.
Which would be nice.
Yep.
But in all seriousness, I would stop the run. I would put Keenan Allen on Wilfork Island. I would probably put Gates with Browner.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the other one, like Floyd, I might put Ryan on him, but then give him safety help over the top.
I think I'd go with Arrington, but that's just me.
Not bad. Not bad either. Yeah, him. Then you could reverse that. But definitely, I would seal the edge and just get after him. I would definitely get after Rivers, because if you sit there and let him play Statue of Liberty all day, game over.
That's what I'm worried about, because we just didn't see a whole lot of that against Green Bay, and that really hurt the Patriots in getting off the field.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But I think, here's what I really think out here. I think they're over there in La Jolla right now. They're training, and I think they're pissed. I think they're fuming. And they're going to come out heated. And when you see a pissed-off Patriots team, particularly the defense, you better run home and find yourself a shield to hide behind. Because when these guys play mad, especially Brady, when he plays mad, you better be finding yourself another planet, let alone another stadium.
I think they should play a little mad because they realize how close they were and they didn't play well this last week. So I hope you're right. I hope that fuels them a little bit, Max.
I'm sure it will. Watch. Instead of using like regular gas to fuel your car,
mm-hmm.
think of it as using rocket fuel.
Baby. A little rocket fuel, a little high octane. I like it.
Yeah.
Listen, you guys have a blast this weekend. I'll be there with you in spirit. Trust me.
We'll do, man. We'll send you, we'll tweet some pictures.
We'll send videos. Do it.
We'll do all that.
Do it. Please do it.
Good talking to you, John.
You too.
I'll catch you up Thursday.
Thanks, Max. Appreciate that. Here's Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, John?
How you doing?
Pretty good. I think, pretty sure you hit on all the nitpicks from the game, but still, just thinking from where this team was, you know, the first month of the season, to where it is, you know, right now, I'm still pretty happy. I know they didn't play well, but I expected them to eventually have one game where they didn't and probably come up with a loss. So I'm not really, you know, that upset. Now, a loss this Sunday, I feel differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we clearly have to win this game Sunday, but I expected them to have won some type of loss coming up here. With that being said, too, I know we're going to be pretty upset, just like you got to talk about, but San Diego has a lot on the line, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that, you know, it's going to be a good tight game, but, I'm glad that they – I can't really say that – well, yes, I am. I did, like I said, expect them to win, and I would say I wanted them to lose a game because also at that same aspect, I don't want to say too hot team going to the playoffs. That's a young team that a lot of people have deemed them the best in the world. And then, you know, you play that game kind of similar to what they did in when they got put out by the Jets that first year.
Mm-hmm.
So they were very, very, very hot.
Mm-hmm.
14-2, they were young, and I don't want to see that same type of – so I still feel like some team needed to beat them to kind of still keep them a little unsteady so that they can, you know, keep that steam rolling into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I don't think that – I think they're a better team. It's going to be hard on the road. But I expect them to go in there and get a win. And just to sit back and look these last, what, eight games and say that you're 7-1 and so the competition that you face, I'm not overlooking a team that could have beat you like the Lions or even the Bears. If they would have got really hot that one day just came out plank when they were kind of down, kind of hit a reverse like the Patriots, they're a dangerous team. All those teams still have some type of dangerous threat on their team and you handled them.
Mm-hmm.
All those teams. So I'm really proud of where this team and where it's come from, because that first month of the season, I would have laughed if anybody would have told me you would have been 9-3 where we are right now.
Yeah, well, the way they were playing, you're absolutely right about that, sure.
That was ridiculous. The first part, that was ridiculous. So I'm very happy with where they're at. So just go in there and take care of business, and I think we'll be all right.
So far, so good. I'm kind of in agreement right there, but you've, as we've said a couple of times here, you got no room for error right now.
Right. There's no room for error, and it shouldn't be. You know, this is December. This is the time where this is where you have to play your best. And you got, not to say you got San Diego's going to come in. Miami's going to be hungry. Their playoff, you know, lives on the line. You know, this is where you want to be at. You know, we don't have a room for error. So, you know, so we got to go in there and take care of business. So
true.
They need to understand the seriousness of these games heading into the playoffs.
Agreed. Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Right on,
right.
Melvin.
Uh-huh.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you later.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Let's get some emails in here quickly and some other posts that we've had. Randy in New Orleans says, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Ryan is the weakest link all the way. I don't have nitpicks because we had problems. I have two problems. Patriots started off slow for you the last three games. And number two, Patriots not continuing with a run by committee because Belichick is so in love with Blunt. Because I don't think that Blunt is better than Gray, only bigger. Interesting points. Yeah, I won't disagree with him. I'm not sure why the love affair with Blunt, but we're going to find out soon enough. John, this is Marvin in North Carolina. My nitpick is with TB12. In big games, he just seems to lock on his main target and force too many throws to said target, like Gronk or Edelman or LaFell. I know this is partly because he can't move like Rodgers in and out of the pocket. This was the real key to the game, was Rodgers' ability to extend plays and find the third or fourth guy in a way Tom just can't. And he knows it, so he locks in at the line, forces throws to well-covered receivers. Marvin, there is a lot of truth in what you have to say there. Luke says, John, I guess field goals does win you football games because the Patriots scored more touchdowns this Sunday. The nitpick would be dropping back Dominic Easley into coverage, which makes zero sense. He says San Diego gets blown out. Typical scenario. Yeah, I had a little problem with that one, too. I'm not sure why they did that. I'm not sure why the defensive philosophy was what it was, but I thought it kind of cost them the game. I really did. Chad says, Rook, Pats have nothing to be ashamed about. This loss on the road holding the Packers offense just 14 while the Patriots scored three touchdowns. The nitpick, disrupting Rodgers, who couldn't score in the red zone. Not trusting the defense, too much respect for Rodgers, asking linemen to cover wide receivers. Yeah, Ninko got caught in no man's land a couple of times, and it was clear to see that wasn't going to work well. And putting Aaron Dobson on the field, he belongs on the sideline. Can't disagree with that either, Chad. Dagmar in Miami says, John, Patriots need to establish a physical dominance in games against tough teams that can score, like Green Bay. Otherwise, falling short is what's next. I think the offensive line didn't have the best game. Having Marcus Cannon as a left tackle doesn't sound convincing for a passing game against Clay Matthews and Peppers on defense. Regarding McDaniels, I'll say this. If he is to take that job, he better leave now. I don't want another Bill O'Brien offensive coordinator planning a playoff run with an eye and a mind focused on an upcoming college gig. I can't even tell you how upset I am because of that. So if I were Bill, I'd say, Josh, are you going to Florida? Fine by me, but please leave your playbook on my desk. Thanks for everything. It's probably a pretty good choice, although, Dagmar, you being in Miami, I can understand why you'd have a problem with the Florida Gators, bud. Not for nothing, but, you know, I can understand that. All right, John says, here's my nitpicks. Brady and his receivers can't get on the same page when it comes to the long ball. Refs. Dennard got shoved to the ground on third down, no call. Gronk's end zone drop had help, no call. They weren't going to throw a flag on the Edelman play until he complained. That's not the way it should be. Hello, Ed Hercules. 12 men, really? Yeah, that was pretty poor. That was poor. I'll give you that one, John. And then play calling again. Josh was doing so well the last few weeks, but why the hell would you not run against them when you were getting at least 6 yards per carry? Yes, and he says, come back, Chandler Jones, come back. That's exactly correct. All right, Gabe in Pennsylvania. John, I've been passive the past few weeks. I think they dropped the ball here on all facets of coaching. Putting in Amendola on key third down plays, the lack of Devlin on run plays, putting in Cannon at the goal line, inconsistent disguises on D, not busting any Packers receivers off the ball. They got free releases. Not going for it on fourth and then going for it on fourth. Was that a 3-4 they ran? Should have been a 4-3 base. No fast tempo. Where did that go? If the Pats want to go to the dance, they better start coaching with what brought them so far. There was subpar coaching on all parts. My hat's off to the players for trying their best, but that game plan was not even close. All right, Gabe, good stuff. Aaron says, I'm not that pleased about the loss. If there's one for the L column, I figured it would be at the hands of Green Bay. Or not that phased, he says. What bothered me about the game were the missed calls for the offensive push-off on Dennard. I thought one of those calls on Browner was ticky-tack. I also felt bothered by the fact that Bill chose Bolden, a guy who hadn't run a play in a month or so, over a power back like Blunt or even Gray. Jason says, John, Jason here in Cork, Ireland. In my nitpick, the amount of third downs the defense gave up, 10. I was impressed with the red zone defense forcing field goals, but if it wasn't for that, the game could have been a blowout for the Packers. Still optimistic going forward. Pats went out the rest of the way. Steven says, the Patriots, like the Raiders or the Jets, heretic. Yeah, we had a caller earlier say that they could be like that. There will be a burn at the stake in Salem if I hear such again. Okay, that's not bad at all. That's not bad at all. Yeah, and Chanel said on Twitter, did that caller just have the nerve to say we could end up like the Jets or Raiders? Unbelievable. LMAO. Because she says, I most said that we were outcoached that night on both sides of the ball, but the fallen shall rise again. Go Pats. A couple of good ones right there. All right, and to wrap it up here via Facebook, Aaron had this. He says, my nitpick about this week's game in the future, we couldn't get off the field on third down, and that killed us. The time of possession was horrible. And if Brady would have had the ball more on third down, it would have been certainly a lot better. Okay. Clayton adds, I'm happy we lost this one because it'll be what lights the fire that carries us through the rest of the season and the playoffs, like the Kansas City game lit us up for 7 weeks. Plus, if Green Bay meets us in the Super Bowl, we'll want our redemption. Okay. Michael says, John, my number one nitpick is time of possession. On the offense, the two first possessions, not scoring at all, and allowing Green Bay to go up 13-0 and the defense not being able to get off the field. Benjamin had several here. Let's see if I can kind of, he says, number one nitpick was we lost. Number two, first half gameplay, three and outs, the flags. Last play of the half, not having an answer for the Packers. Number three, receiver. Dropping the run game. So early, no answer for Cobb out of the backfield. Unable to put pressure on Rodgers, only maintaining him, didn't get the job done. Lots of nitpicks here. He says, when I say flags, they were on big downs. Never in our favor, minus the one on Edelman. I put it on the offense over the D. We were holding the Packers to field goals, but couldn't get any ourselves. Robert says, excellent game. Looking forward to seeing a rematch on a neutral field. Rodgers is the most versatile quarterback in the NFL. Patriots were in the game all night. Came down to a third down completion by a great QB. Never happy with the loss, but head held high after the showing. Sven, running game plan, allowing Vereen to run in short yardage. Pats have used him so many times in those situations this year already, so it's not fooling anyone. I would prefer seeing them calling a lot more running plays for Blunt. Blunt did a good job when running the ball when they did hand it off to him. And he has another nitpick, the referees. Will Fork and run support, just reaching out with his arm instead of throwing himself on the ground to prevent big runs. Amendola pretty much sucked in the return game. He should be benched for Edelman on punt returns. I understand that philosophy, but you're using Edelman so much more on the field. I just think that it makes sense to put Amendola out there because I think he has the same types of abilities. Mary Beth says, so sad they couldn't stop him. It was a good game, though. Josh has this. Let me see if I can find it here again because we just lost it for a moment. Well, let's see if I can find it back. Okay. Good old computer.
Is that what my parents call a senior moment?
Yeah, no. It's not necessarily a senior moment. It's just that it's called the computer decided to freeze moment.
Sure, blame it on the technology.
I am going to blame it on the technology. It's total technological gibberish here. All right, here we go. Josh says, John, I don't want to nitpick too much. I actually think we played fairly well for a loss. We cleaned up the penalties. We were in position to beat a great team in their house. But my nitpick is obviously the blown coverage on the Nelson touchdown. It just can't happen that late in the half. Very true. Charles says, love the show. I'm kind of shocked how okay everybody is with a loss. Had a few phone calls like that today, too. With Denver winning and a relatively easy schedule, this game on Sunday is huge. Denver will beat the Bills at home. That makes this game very important. My nitpicks, play calling, third down D. Adam says, John, three nitpicks. Not running the ball enough against the 30th-ranked defense. The refs, some really bad calls and some non-calls against both teams. And Gronk posing with Bieber. Dear God, no! Thank you, Adam, for bringing that out. I wasn't even going to mention that today, but thank you. Somebody else finally brought that up. He's a jinx. And those guys had to go to the Clippers game last night and pose with Bieber. No!
What if, God forbid, Gronk got hurt on Sunday?
Oh, don't even go. Oh, just wash out your mouth with soap right now. Wash it out. Don't even go to the microphone. Just, you know, I'm out of here.
Instead of, sign me off.
Go wash your mouth out.
Instead of going home to mommy, I'll just go home to Adrian Peterson to get my punishment.
Wow. Well, you're going to get your butt whooped. No kidding. All right. Fantasy football guys are coming up next. Tomorrow, there will be no playbook. I know you're all shocked and saddened, but I have a late-breaking college basketball game to attend tomorrow. Oh, stop it now. You should be cheering. You don't have to put up with my drivel for a couple of hours, but I'm glad that you do anyway. Just got a late college basketball call tomorrow, so that's going to take precedence for me, but I will be back here on Thursday. We'll have Prediction Thursday. Yeah, Prediction Thursday. We'll be here. We'll break down the Chargers, and Russell Baxter will be here on Thursday as well, so you won't want
to
miss out.
From out in San Diego, too.
And we're working on the San Diego folks as well, so you want to be here for the playbook on Thursday. Stick around, though. Fantasy football next on Patriots.com radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.